if you, you will, some of the songs that you chose tonight, how well I think they fit with the message that I'm going to be delivering and the thoughts that I have out of God's Word. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 19. Beginning in verse 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And again, in verse 9, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And may the Lord bless the study of his word tonight. Apply it to our hearts. I'm really going to be talking about the Levites. I've been studying in the book of Numbers for, it seems like it's a lot longer than I had anticipated. And that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. And in studying the book of Numbers, there are so many things that that I've seen that I've really been sort of eager to share them with you all. When I was asked to speak last week, I wasn't, you know, I thought, well, you know, next week I've got two messages on the firm foundations thing, and, you know, I don't want to call it the platform or anything like that. But then again, on the other hand, I'm thinking, you know, that structured study that we're going through, which is very good, but sometimes we have thoughts that we want to share out of our own studies, and so I kind of seized the opportunity. And actually, the message that I was going to deliver tonight was a completely different message. And it was yesterday afternoon that I started having second thoughts because I was doing my studies in Numbers, and these things started, you know, I started seeing these things, and so I began to have some doubt. And so I started putting together the thoughts that I had there. And toward the end of the evening yesterday, I decided, well, no, go back to plan A and deliver those thoughts. And yet again today, though, more thoughts came together, and here I am. And I've had very little time to prepare, so that's a warning to you. Sorry. But I guess we'll just go through this, and I'll share what I have, and pray that it'll be a blessing to each of you. The Levites. In Exodus chapter 19, we saw a conditional. We saw an if and a then. That if the children of Israel would hearken unto the voice of the Lord and obey his command. then he would do certain things. And one of the things he promised to do was to make them a nation, a holy nation, and a priesthood. Well, I'm here to tell you that they failed. But we already know that. In the New Testament, we also have a promise that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. But there's one thing that's different. Can anybody tell me what that one thing is that's different? The if has been removed. That condition is no longer there. By trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have entered into that family, that priesthood, that holy nation. The book of Numbers is an interesting study for me right now, probably for where I am in my spiritual walk. It's amazing to me the divine order that God has given us in his word. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Genesis, the book of beginnings, it's a book about the awareness of sin, and we're learning this in our study in the Firm Foundation. It's where their eyes were opened and they realized that they were naked and they were ashamed. So this awareness of sin is presented to us in Genesis. Exodus is about deliverance and redemption. So there's an awareness of sin, and then there's the deliverance and redemption from that sin. Bondage. Deliverance from the bondage that the world would have us be in. And then Leviticus is a book about worship. It's about the priesthood. And then we come to Numbers, and Numbers is really a book about those wanderings in the wilderness. It's a book about service and walk. It's about service and walk. And as believers, we know that all these things happened to the nation of Israel as examples to us. And so we can look at these things and we can apply them to our walk, to where we're at in our faith. And we can learn from them and benefit from them. For that's the purpose, isn't it? So we see in Exodus that there was an if and a then. And we see that the nation wholesale failed that conditional. And we see that there was a separation of the priesthood and the people. True, they were all Levites, but it was only Aaron and his sons that were appointed unto the priesthood that actually went into the tabernacle and went into the most holy place once a year also, but it was the Levites that were appointed to the ministry and the service of the tabernacle, whether it be the boards, the bars, the sockets, the tents, and Frank, I know you probably have so much to offer there, but you know, there was a separation that occurred, and there was the priesthood, which was responsible for ministering to those holy things and the offerings, and then there was the Levites themselves that were not of the family of Aaron that were responsible for service. Interesting thing about the name Levi. The Hebrew name means joined. And that's why I chose song number 22 in putting my thoughts together this evening. Because one of the verses in there says, "Yet she on earth hath union with God, the three in one, joined to God, holy priesthood, joined to God." In the first 10 chapters of the book of Numbers, God puts forth an order to the whole encampment. In Leviticus, we see the order of the offerings and how man is to approach God in worship. In Numbers, we see, particularly in the first 10 chapters, God's ordering of the encampment, how his people are to gather around him, and how they're to be led through this wilderness. And I liken the wilderness to this life, which what else can it be? And in those first 10 chapters, God first numbers the warriors, and then he numbers the Levites, and he not only appoints the heads of the tribes, he says who will lead each tribe, he not only organizes the encampment around the tabernacle, he not only does those things, but he also appoints them unto their service, what their tasks will be. You know, the sons of Moses were Gershon, Merari, and Kohath. They each had a specific responsibility with regard to ministry of the tabernacle, setting it up and tearing it down. I don't know exactly who did what, but there was very specific responsibilities to those families. One was responsible for the boards, the bars, the pillars, and the sockets. One was responsible for the tents and the coverings and so forth. And the Kohathites were responsible for the holy vessels and the vessels in the sanctuary and so forth. With one minor distinction, and that is that they could not go in and touch those things or look upon those things until Aaron and or his sons went in and covered them. So the holy things really pertained still unto the priesthood, but the service therein pertained unto the Levites in general. So there's a separation in the Levite tribe between the priesthood and the service. And it's interesting when you consider these things that you'll note that the Aaronic priesthood was focused on the worship aspect of the nation, and the rest of the Levites were responsible for the ministry. One was Godward and one was manward. And I forget what I was reading a commentary, and the man put it that that the priesthood faced toward God, but the ministers faced toward men. You know, the direction or the direction of their action was directional. But you know, today that's not true. For the most part, the priesthood of believers, which we are, has been put back together by the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. There are certain things that I don't think, well, that I'm sure, that do not pertain to us as a priesthood. I'll get to that a little bit later, and there's two incidents in the book of Numbers that I'd like to look at further on. But we are a holy priesthood, and we are to offer sacrifices to God. How will we do that? There's a couple verses, I think, that explain it pretty clearly. Brother Jeff brought one of them up this morning. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. It's our reasonable service. When we consider what God has done for us and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, think about it. It's our reasonable service. It's more than reasonable. I tell you, it's more than reasonable. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, a holy priesthood, joined to God through the work of Calvary that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 through 17, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. My contention here tonight is that the Levites represent the priesthood of believers. The name Levi means joined, joined unto the Lord. And as a priesthood of believers, that's what we are today, joined unto the Lord. It's a precious, precious gift and something we truly don't deserve. But nonetheless, it is the gift of God for to be a part of that precious, precious inheritance. 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? What I'm trying to put forth here tonight is, in studying Numbers and seeing everything that God had done, all the appointment of all the service and the ordering of the encampment, leading by a cloud and a pillar of fire, everything that the Israelites were witness to, and first generation, first hand recipients of the majesty and glory and power of God, yet, sadly, they utterly failed. They utterly failed. Forgetfulness, rebellion. I don't know what other words to bring out other than those two, that being forgetful and being rebellious. They had everything they needed, and God was to lead them, but yet through their rebellion, they hearkened back unto the former days, or they joined themselves unto heathen nations, or they join themselves unto Baal worship and idolatry, and forsook their Lord, and forsook his ways, and sadly were chastised. And we see the same thing today in Christendom in general. We don't see, for the most part, adherence to what God's word truly says anymore. We see a departure from it, and it's gradual, but it's noticeable. If we pay attention, it's noticeable. And my thought there is that as Israel was an example to the church, we may see the same thing in the church, will we not? Eventually? Failure. A failure to execute what God has desired. But God knows this. In his prophetic wisdom, he knows these things. How are we to offer our sacrifices to God? Another way, aside from presenting our bodies, a living sacrifice, is we're to offer the sacrifice of praise. And the verse I have for that is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We're called to offer the sacrifices of praise to God, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And the second part of that, verse 16, really has to do with our performance. To do good, to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So we see that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We're to offer praise, the fruit of our lips, as sacrifice. Our performance, the things we do, our walk, our testimony before the world, is a method of offering a sacrifice to God. And finally, prayer. Through prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. As a priesthood joined to God, this is part of our service. And it's a calling to which we should be forever indebted and glad to receive and glad to do, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, to offer praise up to our God, to perform the works that are pleasing to him, and to pray for those we love, believers in the assembly, those in authority, ourselves, that we would do those good and acceptable things that would be pleasing to our God. There's two incidents in the book of Numbers. I'm kind of bouncing back and forth here a little. I hope that's not a problem. There's two incidents in the book of Numbers that I would like to call our attention to particularly. And the first incident is in Numbers chapter 16. And in Numbers chapter 16, if I can set the stage, there's a certain individual, and his name is Korah, who leads a rebellion against Aaron and Moses. And Korah was dissatisfied because he felt that the priesthood that was appointed by God to Aaron and his sons belonged to himself. Now, his words in particular weren't that he felt that he should be a priest, but that was the intent of it. And so Korah led a rebellion, and Dathan and Abiram were a part of that rebellion. They sought to take on a priesthood to themselves. They sought to take on more than that which was appointed unto them. They weren't content in the service that was appointed unto them. And as a result of their rebellion, judgment came. And the judgment that occurred for Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and their families was that the earth opened up and swallowed them. And they had 250 followers that were behind them in this insurrection, and they were consumed with fire. Priesthood of believers. I really think that part of the essence of this teaching here is, first of all, that each and every one of us, as we see in Numbers, are appointed unto a particular ministry or a particular service. And we should be very content in executing that service. And we may not feel equipped to do so at times. But if we prayerfully approach the task at hand, the Lord is good, and He will lead, and He will guide, and He will equip us in the manner in which He so chooses. It's His good pleasure. In the New Testament, I've also noticed that 1 Corinthians is like a tremendous parallel to Numbers. There's a tremendous parallel there in the appointment of gifts and service. And it says in 1 Corinthians that it's God's good pleasure to have distributed the gifts that He has to each and every one of us according to His good will. He's in charge and He's in control. And that's what we see in the book of Numbers. He's in control. In the book of Leviticus, you want to know how to worship the Lord. The book of Leviticus was very clear in how to approach God. In the book of Numbers, if you want God to dwell amongst you as a people, you need to order yourselves around Him in the way that is pleasing to Him, in the way that He has so prescribed. Back to Korah. The system that we came out of, I see the gainsaying of Korah. The separation of the priesthood from the rest of the body, so to speak, that lifting up, not being content with one service, that priesthood that takes things upon itself that was far too much. Confession to a man. We know what God's word says about that. We're not to confess to a man. We bring our confessions to our high priest. That's an aspect of the priesthood that we as believers do not have the privilege of entering into. There are certain aspects of this holy priesthood that we do not have a right to enter into. Those things pertain unto one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. So we see here in the rebellion of Korah that they sought to take on more responsibility or to usurp the authority that God had given to Aaron and to his sons and to Moses. On the other hand, in Numbers chapter 25, we have another incident. And this incident in Numbers chapter 25 follows on the heels of three chapters that have to do with the prophet for hire, Balaam, who was hired by Balak to curse the Israelites and was unsuccessful. But I believe that chapter 25 is really following on the heels of that, is a part of that. What happened in Numbers chapter 25, as it says here in verse 3, and we'll start in verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat, and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay ye every one of his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. Here's the portion that I'd like to zone in on. Behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. If we see that encampment in the wilderness, as typical of our walk of faith in this world, we see these examples and we can apply them, perhaps not specifically to ourselves at all times, but in general, in the direction that we see that Christendom has taken in these days. They were joined unto Baal Peor. They were joined unto the world. We have this Israelite here who was joined unto a Midianite woman. And we see the judgment that results from that when Phinehas thrusts her through with a javelin. Don't have the time to go into it. I've seen some very interesting things about the priesthood of Aaron, his son Eleazar, and his son Phinehas. And each of those three high priests speak of the Lord Jesus Christ in a different way. It's clear to us that Aaron speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as high priest, mostly in the earthly ministry, ministering in the sanctuary, the atonement, the cross. Eleazar's ministry speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ in his heavenly role as high priest today, in his heavenly role. And Phinehas, I believe, speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes in judgment. You'll notice that every reference to Aaron, or every reference to the atonement and the sacrifices, pretty much the name Aaron and his sons is mentioned. The only time we see anything that has to do with blood with regard to Eleazar has to do with the chapter on the red heifer. And then we see Phinehas, and his relationship seems to always be that of war or judgment. And the interesting thing about the name Phinehas means mouth of brass. And brass speaks of judgment. But what do we learn from this? Here, we see that they were married to the world. This nation that was called to be set apart to God, his chosen people, his peculiar people, married to the world. And so it is today in the churches. There's a lot of worldliness that abounds. It's a sad thing to see. It's frustrating. It makes it difficult to cut through all the nonsense and speak the truth anymore, because there's been so much error and so much worldliness has crept in, it becomes so difficult for us anymore to really witness the truth. There's so much confusion, so much division. It's a sad, sad thing. We're a holy priesthood, joined to God through the work of his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we do with this? I mean, what does this mean to us as individuals, as members of that priesthood? I've got problems in my life. I've got problems. There are things I know that I need to put aside to become less and less affected by the world and more affected by God, to draw away from the world and toward God. And I know this is my goal, and it's each and every one of your goals, to draw closer to the Lord, to be a holy priesthood, to be separate, to not be joined to the world. And it's a difficult thing. I know it is. But the wonderful thing is that it's not something we do alone. It's something that we do through the power of God. Only something that we can do through His power if we avail ourselves of His power in His Word and through prayer. And each and every one of us building up each other in the body of Christ. Building each other up. We're a holy priesthood. We have a responsibility to each other, to help each other. When we see things that may not be right, in love and with concern, because we should care. If we see brothers and sisters that aren't enjoying the full blessing of God, we have a responsibility to those people to help them. Because likewise, we'd expect the same, wouldn't we? I know that if there's something that's lacking in my life, I pray that each and every one of you would have the conviction and the strength before the Lord to let me know. Because how else am I going to grow? We're a holy priesthood. We need to build each other up. We need to maintain our separation from the world. We're called to be separate from the world. If we're not, there's no way that the world knows the difference. And if the world doesn't know the difference, then we can't be a testimony and we can't be a witness. If the world doesn't know the difference, we're not performing our reasonable service to God. I know this more than anybody else here, I'll bet you. I see it at work every day. I'm so frustrated sometimes. Because I know that I should be doing this or that I shouldn't be doing that. And sometimes my tongue lets loose and I get impatient. We all have these problems. And sometimes I'm not the witness that I should be. But praise God. Praise God. That through the Lord Jesus Christ, each and every one of us knows that when we stumble and when we fall, He's there. He's there to say, it's okay, get on with it, turn from it, let's move forward. We're a holy priesthood. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, set apart unto the service of God. It's our reasonable service. Everything we should desire. If there be anything in front of us that would take away from our love of the Lord's Word, from our time before Him in earnest prayer, we pray that we would see those things and root them out. And gradually and regularly grow spiritually, grow into what the Lord wants us to be. I don't know how well those thoughts came out. They're a bit scattered and everything. I really felt that it was important to share them. And I just pray that it's been an encouragement to some, all, or one of you. And let's just bow our heads in prayer.